Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast via Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors lost. Second half of back-to-back by a score of 116-108. Against the Miami Heat. I don't know. Bit of an annoying game this was. And I say that mostly in instances where the Raptors are good enough to win the game, but just find themselves chasing time and time again. And I think usually when that happens, you got to give a lot of credit to the other team. You got to give a lot of credit to the Heat. They played well tonight, especially their starters. But, you know, the Raptors launched multiple comeback attempts, and it just kind of fell short for them. I don't really know how else to say it other than just they couldn't get over the hump. And I think in those games, it becomes more frustrating because they're kind of, you know, it's right there, but it's also not. And it's right there, but it's also not. And, you know, the Heat have some really, really nice players on their team. Even though the record is below 500, obviously they went to the finals last year with this team, you know. And Jimmy Butler, who was a big part of that finals run. Man, Jimmy Butler was awesome tonight. This guy has killed the Raptors so many times. It's unbelievable. It makes me sick. This looked like a TNT Bulls game, honestly, in which, you know, you know, to be honest, it doesn't necessarily feel like the Bulls games because, you know, in all honesty, the Bulls had way less talent than the Heat did. So it was even more ridiculous that Jimmy Butler was doing what he was doing. But Butler loves playing against the Raptors. He just loves playing against the Raptors. And honestly, you know, you gotta tip your hat to him. Sometimes a great player is just great, and he was great. And all I've ever really seen Jimmy Butler against the Raptors is greatness outside of when Kawhi Leonard covered him in the series, and that was good. But otherwise, you know, this guy has dominated the team. And there was a stretch in the fourth quarter where Jimmy scored 12 straight points for Miami, was setting up every single play. You know, he had the game-winning assist or the game-clinching assist, finding Bam Adebayo on a roll after the Raptors failed to secure two defensive rebounds on the same possession. And, you know, it just wasn't there for the Raptors. And this is a weird game because even though the Raptors hit 20 threes and shot 50% from the field, they lost, which is just very unusual. And it's just, you know, that doesn't happen that often, right? I mean, you just don't see a lot of instances where teams hit 20 threes and lose. Now, granted, the Heat were also pretty good on, you know, they shot 17 of 38 from three. That's 45%. That's, you know, roughly the same percentage as the Raptors. He just shot less threes. But the Heat, I just think, did a couple more things better than the Raptors. And, you know, some of that you can maybe chalk down to, you know, fatigue, second half of back-to-back, all that stuff. You know, third game in four nights, I think that's a very real factor. They obviously played a long game against the Sixers, which, you know, part of it was their own doing, but, you know, that's fine. But you look at just the difference in this game. A lot more possessions for the Heat. Like, the Heat took six more field goal attempts than the Raptors. Part of that was the Heat winning the offensive rebound battle 11-3. The Heat took 13 or 12 more free throws than the Raptors. And, you know, they won the turnover battle as well. And when you kind of do all that, I mean, you just have more chances to, like, literally crack the nut. And, you know, in this game, when it was pretty close, you know, decent, you know, the Raptors were in, you know, one or two possessions a few times. That, honestly, in and of itself, is the difference. And, you know, of course, on top of that, you have Jimmy Butler, who was, again, sensational. Take nothing away from Jimmy. You know, lots of respect for what he's done, especially in the last few seasons. You know, it just is kind of is what it is. So, a bit of a frustrating game, again, just because the Raptors tried to make so many comeback attempts, and they were shooting the ball well. But, you know, there were also stretches where they didn't shoot the ball well. Like, I thought, you know, in the fourth quarter, when the Raptors were making their push, you know, they had two fast breaks that came off a steal, came off a block by OG, or I forget who it was actually, but it was, you know, two live ball turnovers by the Heat. You know, the Heat only committed 11 turnovers, but there were two live ball turnovers. The Raptors got nothing at the rim on one of those, and Fred VanVleet got open for three and he missed that. Or no, OG got open for three and he missed that, but regardless, there were some great opportunities there, and they just couldn't connect on some of those. Actually, I think Fred did miss the transition three, and then OG missed the open corner three during that stretch. That could have flipped the tie for the Raptors. You know, there's some other stretches where the Raptors got it within 2 points, and then the Heat would come back, and Jimmy Butler, you know, would get to the basket and score. You know, he would shoot the three and score. And that part was actually super frustrating, because Jimmy Butler, coming into this game, had made 4 total threes on the season. He was 4 for 25. You know, he's had this weird transition where he used to be a guy who did rely a little bit on the three-pointer, but especially since he's gone to Miami, has basically just taken the three-point shot off the table, except in moments where he really needs it. This is like basically what Dwayne Wade used to do, essentially. Dwayne obviously was, you know, not a three-point shooter, but when he needed to be, he was a three-point shooter. And Jimmy Butler tonight, coming into the game, 4 total made threes. Tonight he made 3. And several of those in the second half, which were just absolutely killer, including a pull-up three on Norman Powell as the Raptors were making their comeback. So, you know, you got to give them some credit. And, you know, I honestly think you got to give the Raptors some credit, too, because I think that some of the Raptors played pretty well as well. I think the Raptors starters in general played quite well. There's one obvious exception, and I'll get to that in a bit. But, you know, to focus on the positives, I think Kyle Lowry coming back obviously shows us what the team had been missing in terms of, you know, of course, the Raptors had been winning without Kyle in the lineup, and that's great. But this idea that the Raptors don't need Kyle, the Raptors, you know, are better without Kyle, that's outrageous. Kyle Lowry shows, I mean, first off, it's outrageous because, like, have you not seen, like, the last, like, 8 seasons of Raptors basketball, period, right? But even just now, it's not like Kyle Lowry fell off a cliff or something, man. The guy came back, 24 points, 7 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals, 9 of 13 shooting, 4 of 7 from 3, in 35 minutes, you know, with his thumb bandaged and everything like that. This guy was red hot, and he was hot from start to finish too. That's the thing. I mean, he came out in the first quarter, hit 2 threes, you know, a trailing three off of Pascal's transition push, and then another three where it was like a deep pull up. And this guy was making wild shots, getting to the basket, you know, breaking down the Heat's perimeter defense, which is the very, very tough part of the Heat's defense, is the perimeter defense, especially when they play zone. But Kyle Lowry is able to break inside, you know, get to the basket, driving and ones, driving in transitions, using a strength, muscling pass, even setting up teammates as well. I mean, he led the team in assists. I mean, this is Kyle Lowry. This is what the Raptors have been missing, man. Like, you know, and it was good to see him in a rhythm, you know, because we've seen games where Kyle has come back and, you know, had been kind of rusty with his jumper. Nothing like that tonight, right? And it's not like the game where he came back against Indiana, you know, where, you know, he shot really poorly, got ejected. This game, totally different. Shot the exact opposite. Even though he had a thumb injury, which you would think would affect the shooting, it didn't. And maybe that's not a surprise either, considering he played the Bucks series and the Warriors series for the championship with that oven mitt on the whole time. But yeah, man, Kyle is he's a gamer. He's just an absolute gamer. He comes back and, you know, was the Raptors' best player tonight, and it's great to see. Honestly, it's great to see the Raptors kept starting small as expected. I think, you know, if they were going to start small with DeAndre Bembry, they're definitely going to start small with Kyle Lowry, and that did work in terms of getting the Raptors going offensively. The only thing I would say is defensively, it did leave them a little bit small. I mean, Kyle Lowry plays bigger than his size, obviously, but Bembry being a guy who's like 6'5", to be out there, you know, if Kyle weren't playing tonight, for example, it'd be Bembry against Butler. Not sure that would have made too big of a difference, considering Butler made some ridiculous shots anyway, but, you know, it was a bit of a mismatch, especially when Butler posted. That attracted double teams, and Butler did a great job of carving the Raptors apart with his passing. He had 10 assists tonight. But, you know, there was a bit of size shortage. And honestly, towards the end of the game, there was a huge size shortage. But again, I will talk about that. But Kyle was great. Absolutely phenomenal in his return. And, you know, it's a shame that the Raptors lost. But he was really good. I thought Norm, you know, sustained his play quite well. It was a bit choppy at times. He didn't get out to that huge start that Norm usually does, right? Norm usually gets you like 12 in the first quarter and finishes with like 25, 26. And, you know, it wasn't quite that kind of game for Norm tonight, but I thought Norm did a good job of finding a couple of counters to beat what the Heat were doing to them. You know, one thing that Norm's done really well this year is when guys close out hard to him in the corner, because you should close out hard to Norm. Norm's been shooting the ball lights out. Norm has just taken that one dribble inside that baseline, You know, the long two, which is not necessarily a great shot, but especially if you're seeing what the way the defense is reacting to you, I don't mind that shot as a way to beat the defense. And he did do that tonight. Had a couple of crafty drives. You know, again, the Heat have some pretty tough perimeter defenders. Or even like Duncan Robinson, who I wouldn't say is a great defender by any means. But he is still pretty big. And Norm is still, at the end of the day, like 6'3", trying to drive a guy who's like, you know, 6'8 in Duncan Robinson. You know, there is a bit of a size mismatch to go there, but I thought Norm got his offense well, and he scored in rhythm, as he usually does. Fred had a really good stretch, especially in the second half. It really felt like he was stepping up in a big way for the Raptors, which is not unusual for Fred VanVleet. He also had a really strong first half, too, where the Raptors were basically making Fred carry these bench-heavy lineups, where it would be like Fred out there with Chris Boucher at power forward, Aaron Baines at center, and then like Pat McCaw and DeAndre Bembry. And in those situations, Fred is absolutely the number one option. And then the second option is Chris Boucher calling his own number and shooting jumpers, which I totally welcome because you need that from him. But yeah, in those lineups, it's very difficult for Fred to even get any room, and he has to work really hard off the ball, come off screens, everything like that. But Fred's done a good job of making that work, you know, kind of like Kyle Lowry plus bench, although a little bit more half court than full court scoring in transition, which is what Kyle really does a good job of as well. But Fred did a really good job in the first half, but I thought he did an even better job in the second half, honestly. The Heat are a tough opponent, but you know, I thought Fred was able to impact the game, especially with his shooting. The fact that he shot 5 of 11 from 3 was really impressive, considering some of those shots were quite difficult. And, you know, I also liked the way he led the team. I just thought, like, you know, there's one play where end of the third quarter, the camera picked up on the microphone picked up on a conversation that Fred and Chris Boucher were having under the basket, where, you know, Bam Adebayo had beaten Aaron Baines at the top of the floor off the dribble, which I don't even blame Baines for, because the Raptors' coverage is such that they really like to press their bigs up high against Adebayo in case the Heat run the dribble handoffs. You know, you need to be up high and show and help a lot of the time against the Heat shooters. So, but one of the downsides of that is that you can get beat off the dribble. And Bam obviously is a quicker player than Baines, but that's okay so long as you have help at the rim. And Chris Boucher was the low man. His responsibility to help at the rim. He was late to help. The Heat were able to score. And, you know, Fred was caught talking to Boucher, not in a rude way, not in like a in-your-face kind of way, not like a Draymond Green type of situation. It's just kind of just like telling Chris, like, yo, we need to be better than that. We need to be better than that. And I like that kind of accountability. And I think that's part of what leaders do, is hold people accountable. And then also at the same time, hold themselves accountable. And I thought Fred, you know, responded to that by getting to the free throw line twice, driving inside for free throws, and then hitting this miraculous turnaround jump shot to end the third quarter that, you know, kept the Raptors kind of close. And again, the Raptors were teasing, you know, like the game was really never out of reach, but it was also never in their grasp. And yeah, that was tough, but Fred made some really nice plays. Like, I thought he had a tough corner three late in the game to, again, push the Raptors, you know, within, like, two possession striking distance under 2 minutes. He had another play where the Heat sent a random double team at him, and Fred had to dribble and dribble and dribble and get all the way to the baseline, and I was like, oh my god, here comes another really forced and rushed shot for Fred. He's obviously put in that situation a lot. But then Fred threw this gorgeous cross-court pass to Norman Powell with like 2 seconds left on the shot clock, and Norman's able to drain the three because the Heat had sent the double team. So that was where the open man was coming from. It was a beautiful pass. Like he you know, it's, you know, it was like Fred VanVleet came out of La Masia or something, because it was one of those Barcelona tiki-taka style passes, beating the whole defense. But yeah, and I mean, you know, Fred had a great game, and honestly, as good as Kyle Lowry played, I thought Fred was right there with him in terms of the way he did, you know, in terms of his scoring. And even OG Anunoby, I thought, was pretty solid. I think the three-point shot for OG, it does feel like he should make more of these. Like, I remembered him just being stuck on automatic. There's really nothing to complain about with OG shooting 2 of 5. That's like totally normal night for him. If he shot 2 of 5 all season for 40% on 5 attempts, I'd be thrilled. But you know, I thought OG was good, especially, you know, because he had to play as a big man most of the time, rolling inside, dunking, you know. Yeah, I mean, the Heat, especially because the Heat spend so much of their energy guarding the perimeter, and they should, honestly. The Raptors' best scorers tonight were Fred, you know, Kyle, Norman Powell. You should send a lot of help towards the perimeter, but that left them rotating a little bit on the back line, and when they were able to slip passes to OG as he slipped to the basket, he was able to finish strong. You know, he had a muscle up finish over, you know, Bam Adebayo, and it was a tough night for OG too, because he had to guard Bam as well, and Bam seemed really determined. There were some games I felt like when the Raptors played the Heat earlier in the season, Bam was such a focal point of the offense in terms of he had to create so much scoring without Butler there, that I didn't think Bam was as dominant in terms of getting to the offensive glass or creating for others or rebounding and things like that. With Butler back and Adebayo obviously being a number two, he looked much more comfortable, and he was able to impact the games, especially through getting offensive rebounds. OG did a good job holding him off in the first half. Second half, Adebayo kind of just feasted the Raptors. And even off the bench, I thought Baynes gave them solid minutes. You know, against the zone, Baynes, you know, I mean, damn. I mean, it's hard enough for... We saw Baynes try to score that open floater against Joel Embiid, and that didn't quite go his way. When you put a zone defense on him as well, like, it's really going to be tough for him. He did make a three off the top, which was nice. Of course, right afterwards, he did a heat check, which, I mean, come on, man. An Aaron Baynes heat check should not be happening at any point in any game of any significance. And that was a little annoying to see. But, you know, Baynes gave them some solid minutes. I think Baynes' screening is really big, especially if Fred is going to be playing with that second unit and running that show, because you're going to need him to come around screens, get separation, and get open. Baynes gets you open. Baynes will, if you run off a Baynes screen, you're going to have an advantage. And he's going to brush off the defender, and Fred VanVleet's going to have some kind of advantage to work with. In any case, though, against the zone, I mean, it was nothing. Like, you know, that was tough. But Baynes gave them some solid minutes. I thought Boucher gave them some solid minutes as well. I mean, the 11 points, the 4-6 shooting, 2-3 from 3. You know, it was secure in the defensive glass in the first half. You know, gave them some activity to, you know, disrupted a couple passes. And generally speaking, I wasn't totally sure why Boucher didn't play more. I thought he could have maybe played a little bit more to close the game, just to give them a little bit more size. But, you know, the Raptors decided to go small and try to make up the gap with offense, which, not too surprising considering the Heat kind of carved the Raptors apart offensively. I thought the Heat were, it's not even necessarily like you look at the shooting percentages and you say it was that wild. Like, of course, like, you know, the Heat shot the three well, but realistically, it doesn't seem that ridiculous. But the ball movement for the Heat was really good. The 31 assists for them was quite impressive. And they just kind of had the Raptors beat most of the time. I don't know. Sometimes you watch a game and you can just tell when a team is beat. And there was a lot of guys getting open for back cuts, guys slipping free to the basket, Raptors having to double, and that leading to open shots. There's a lot of annoying stuff for the Raptors tonight. And, you know, the Heat did a really good job running their offense. But, you know, it was one of those games. And honestly, one of the differences, you know, aside from the Heat, you know, having Jimmy Butler and also their possessions and, you know, everything like that, is, like, I just thought, like, you know, you needed something from Pascal Siakam. Like, Pascal Siakam is a max player, and so you need something from him. He's been really good of late, like, really consistently good. Yeah, he's had good games against good teams as well, like, you know, the Bucks. He thought he was really good against the Sixers as well. You needed something from Pascal. And tonight, he just didn't have it, like, at all. Like, he had 5 points in 24 minutes, only made one shot on 6 attempts. Three turnovers, 4 fouls, and yeah, he got benched for the entire fourth quarter. And listen, you know, I don't even know if it was necessarily, like, a benching out of punishment. Like, of course, he didn't play well, absolutely, and whatever. But generally speaking, I've seen guys not play well and still give chances to play. But, I don't even know. Like, it was bad. To be fair, it was bad, right? And, you know, there was a stretch in the second quarter there where Pascal came into the game, was kind of leading the bench unit. And then for some reason, he picked up 2 quick fouls back-to-back just trying to guard Jimmy Butler. Kind of, and, like, it wasn't even, like, it was a foul out of laziness, really, because he was just reaching out and grabbing Butler instead of playing man-to-man using his feet. I mean, Pascal's a quick player. You don't need to do that against Butler. You know, use your length, stay in front, contest. Like, it's, you know, whatever, right? But Pascal was going over the screen, you know, he was reaching a little bit. Whatever, 2 quick fouls. But then right after that, the Raptors got on a fast break. Pascal did a good job of dribbling and to give himself the advantage, because he had used his handle to push ahead and beat the line of defense. So it created a numbers advantage for the Raptors going forward just because he was faster than some of these guys. But as he usually does, once he gets into the paint, you know, he likes to take two long steps, jump, and then look for a shooter instead of maybe, like, you know, a more... I don't know. It just feels like he's kind of doing that quite often. Like, that's the pattern he gets into. And generally speaking, Pascal is a pretty good transition player. Even when he's not finishing, I think he's better finishing, but he's also, you know, quite good at running the break and finding shooters. But I think that he did a good job of scouting him. And a guy like Kelly Olynyk, I mean, if Pascal had kept his dribble low, you know, chopped up his steps a little bit, could have got by Kelly Olynyk in open court. All Kelly could really do is take a charge. Instead, Pascal jumps into the air. This is the second time he's done that, too, in this game, where he jumped into the air to look for a pass, and the pass wasn't fully there. And Kelly just stepped in for the charge, and that was Pascal's fourth foul. Initially, it was called a block, but the Heat smartly reviewed it, and it was indeed a block. So Pascal had four fouls at that point. And the guy just didn't impact the game the rest of the way, which is disappointing, very disappointing. You know, Nick Nurse said after the game that it was really just a case of Pascal being tired and, you know, him not wanting to overtax his guys, which, I mean, okay, I get that. I get that. I mean, the other actions in Nick's rotations make sense in terms of, you know, more, not in make sense, but are congruent with that thought. Like the fact that he went 12 deep in his rotation, gave multiple guys chances to play. Like, okay, I get that. But at the same time, I thought at least some point in the fourth quarter you bring Pascal in, if nothing else, just for his defense, right? Because, you know, okay, even if you want to play the way the Raptors are playing, that's fine. You just need some size on the floor. Like, I think the Raptors giving up two late offensive rebounds in the same possession where the Raptors could have maybe gotten, after they gotten the stop, grabbed the rebound, minute left, 6-point game, you know, wilder things have happened. Like, you could hit a three, all of a sudden that game is totally different, right? But instead, this was the lineup that was in to close the game. It was Kyle Lowry at point, Fred VanVleet, well, maybe, you know, Fred at point, Kyle at two, Norm at three, Terrence Davis at four, and OG Anunoby at five. You're just not going to get rebounds, period. When, like, you know, like, it just, you're just not. Like, of course, you could say, okay, guys could have, you know, the guards could have gang rebounded better, you know, Norm only one rebound, Fred four, you know, okay. But, like, that's not enough. That's not enough size. Like, those, that's four guards and one wing player. Like, that's just not enough size. And so it wasn't that much of a surprise to me either when the Raptors were giving up some layups or some rebounds at the end. But, you know, it hurts when you don't play Pascal. It hurts not necessarily just the offense, but it hurts the defense as well, man. Like, there's just not that many versatile defenders out there. Like, maybe you could have put Stanley in. You know, Stanley's probably, like, physically the biggest wing out there, unless you want to put Yuta, who hasn't really played since he got dunked on, which, I mean, you know, come on, man. I mean, just because he got dunked on doesn't mean he can't play. But Stanley hasn't, you know, he came in for 3 minutes. You know, he was a minus 11 those 3 minutes. I don't even know how it's possible. You know, or even put Boucher out there. You know, if you want the shooting, you know, that's fine. I think Terrence gives you shooting, but Boucher gives you shooting too, and he's also, like, you know, a guy who can rebound and challenge shots at the basket and just play generally much better defense. I was surprised by that decision. I really was. And, you know, Nick just says it was a case of getting Pascal some rest, which, if that's true, then it is what it is, right? I do know that, you know, Pascal played over 40 minutes the last two games against the Sixers. Those are all very hard-fought games, with Pascal being a big part of those, so... You know, maybe that is what it is. And the schedule is kind of unrelenting. I mean, like, damn. The Raptors just play, like, every other night. And it's ridiculous, man. Like, it's... Like, why are the Raptors always on a back-to-back? It's like, all the Raptors' losses are just, like, weird situational losses. Like, the last time the Raptors did this was, you know, second out of a back-to-back playing Minnesota or some shit like that. Like, it's just... It's annoying, is what I'm trying to say. I don't want to see this all the time. I hate scheduled losses. Like, what's the point of scheduling the game if the game is so, you know, uphill? But, yeah, whatever. But you do have to give the Heat a lot of credit, too. Like, I really don't want to take anything away from them. That's why I started the game with that, because they were really good. Andre Iguodala kills the Raptors all the time. Butler kills the Raptors all the time. And they beat the Raptors. So, in terms of your three stars from this game, I would give the first star to Kyle Lowry in his return. 24 points in 35 minutes, 7 rebounds to lead the team, 7 rebounds to lead the team, 8 assists to lead the team, 2 steals to lead the team. 24 points, matches Fred VanVleet for most on the Raptors. Shot the best percentage as well. Kyle Lowry, man. Hey, stop doubting this man, please. Okay. In terms of your second star, I'm going to give that to Fred. 24 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists, 6 of 13 from the field, 5 of 11 from 3, 7 of 8 from the free throw line in 39 minutes. Carries a heavy load. He, I mean, listen, if anyone can get some rest, it'd be Fred VanVleet, but luckily he's incredibly well-conditioned and has shown an ability to play hard at a high level for extended minutes. But yeah, Fred was quite good. And then third star, there's a couple places to go with this. I mean, you know, there's definitely a big drop-off after the two point guards. I would say, you know, OG has a shot at it, although defensively he was put in a tough spot guarding Adebayo with very little help with no Pascal on the floor. You know, Norm has a shot at it too. He made some tough baskets. Boucher has a shot at it. So really you can go with any of those three guys. I'm just gonna give it to OG. It's been a while since I've given OG a star. And yeah, 14.6 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 blocks. You know, I had a nice block against Jimmy Butler in the fourth quarter that sparked a fast break. 6 of 13 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3 for OG. I'm looking for more from OG. I want him to find the same rhythm that he had before. I will say, however, though, that because of the small ball lineup, OG is now the fifth option again, which is not a big deal. He was the fourth option before that. But, you know, when you look at who's going to get shots, Kyle's going to get shots, Fred's going to get shots, Pascal's going to get shots, and then Norm's going to get shots on top of that. So OG is going to have to, I don't know, settle for less is the right word, but he's not going to be the number one on option on a play that often. But that doesn't mean that he can't impact the game. And yeah, I thought he did a decent job tonight. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Andre Iguodala. I think Iguodala, okay, so he made 4 or 5 from three. For 12 points and 5 rebounds. Every time I watch Iguodala against the Raptors, I'm always just like, damn, he's still that good at this age, huh? Because it's, I don't know, like there's just something about Iguodala where he's so smart, his length is so, you know, his length has always been a plus, absolutely. And there's just something about putting Iguodala in a zone defense that allows him to use his two greatest assets, which is the fact that he has really, really long arms and also very smart hands. Very quick hands, like it's literally Iguodala has like Fred VanVleet level hands. On top of the fact that he's very smart as well, so he's able to just call his own shots a little bit, pressure, and he just does such a good job in the Heat zone defense. It's kind of like a perfect marriage between the two. And I know Iguodala gets paid a ton, whatever. He's kind of old, and you know, I mean, aside from this game against the Raptors, he was shooting like 20% from three, but he just does so many good things for Miami, and I kind of wish the Raptors had an Iguodala. I mean, of course, I wish the Raptors had Iguodala just dating back to when they drafted Hafa Arujo over him in like 2005. But nevertheless, yeah, Iguodala was quite good tonight. So that does it for the podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You know, it's a bit of a frustrating loss. I think you can probably tell based on the impatience of my voice, but it just kind of is what it is. You know, the Raptors aren't going to win at all. They're now 16 and 17. They're under 500 again. Miami's catching up too. Miami's 15 and 17, so they're really not far. But pretty much the whole conference is like that. Like Boston's under 500, Miami's under 500, Raptors under 500. You know, Boston lost again tonight. The conference is weird. Like it just is weird. Indiana lost. Like the whole conference is 500. So don't overreact too much to, you know, falling below a line or winning or losing one or two games. It just kind of is what it is. This is what the season is. Hopefully, with the Raptors all healthy now, I think, you know, Nick's going to have to figure out his rotation a little bit. Definitely, you can't play 12 guys. Although, of course, tonight was more of a special exception with it being a third game in 4 nights and a back-to-back. But, yeah, figure out the rotation a little bit. Everyone's healthy. Make a push. You know, make some trades. If I think the Raptors could definitely use some trades to, especially to upgrade their center rotation. But, you know, just make a move with the team because still not totally sure what direction the Raptors are going in. I think they're heading in a good direction. They've had some pretty positive results. This is not a bad loss by any means. But, you know, I think they could probably use a little bit more of a push. So we'll see if that comes. But, yeah, in the meantime, Raptors lose. They play in 2 nights. What are the Raptors? God, I'm coming up, man. Jeez, did the Raptors ever stop playing basketball? Not really. They play the Houston Rockets on Friday. Then they play the Bulls on Sunday, so thankfully they actually have 2 off days. And then the Pistons, and then no back-to-backs next week. Oh, that's actually pretty great before they get to the All-Star break. So, look, the Raptors can finish out strong. I know the Raptors kind of struggle against the Celtics, but the Celtics are really playing poorly. But if the Raptors could take the next three games, which there's no reason why they couldn't. Like, the Rockets are playing pretty poorly of late. They were kind of in a slide. Of course, they didn't have Christian Wood for a while, and, you know, he's a big player for them. The Bulls won tonight, but the Bulls are the Bulls, and, you know, they're just kind of an average team as usual. Although, honestly, they're, what, 15 and 16? Wow, they have the same record as the Raptors. See, like, literally everyone in the East is 500. And then the Pistons, who realistically the Raptors should win. So, as long as the Raptors get to the All-Star break, you know, above 500, which they should, you know, I really have a few complaints. So, yeah, check back in on Friday when the Raptors play again.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.